The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Oh, just a couple months ago. And remember when I took off and I spent a couple days down in Greenville, South Carolina, at the home of Bob Jones University, which goes all the way back to 1927, which is mind-boggling. So that makes the Bob Jones University slightly older than I am. But spent 2 days down there and made some amazing friends and just some incredible men and women of God. And they have a very deep bench, serious commitment to the Word of God, as well as, listen, if we go to our universities and we go to our seminaries and we get really well-versed in the Scriptures, and we can have great, deep, and lasting, and theological accurate conversations with one another, that's great, right? That's a great thing. And then we kind of iron sharpen iron, and that's all great, but sooner or later, and this was a struggle for me, sooner or later, the question has to be, how is that incredible biblical prowess of yours affecting the world around you? Do we actually get out and do anything in the world, or do we just stay together and we buy a piece of land out in Wyoming and we impress one another? No, that's not the deal in my life. That's not the deal in this show. That's certainly not the deal at Bob Jones University. Listen to this. A Christian worldview is the foundation for every aspect of life. By looking at your life and the world around you through the lens of God's word, you develop a biblical worldview. It's like the lenses in your glasses, right? It's how you choose what to pursue in life and how to approach life's challenges, defend your faith by the authority of the Bible, and effectively communicate the good news. And so that's why I'm so thrilled. I've talked about it a couple times this week and today as we launch our brand new partnership with our friends at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary with Mr. Steve Pettit, who's the president of both. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Your name's the easiest to remember. Thank you.
Yes, finally, I'm dealing with somebody else when I'll remember your name. So that's I'm glad we both had that. Listen, I got to tell you, I was, you know, I've known of Bob Jones University for years. Obviously, a lot of us do. But to come down there and spend time with people on your staff and many of the leaders down there and Alan and Bob and a bunch of other people and meeting Randy and then doing the show with a couple people, it was thrilling for me. I was so excited to be there. And for me, I was just kind of a fact-finding thing. And let's see what the Lord does. But we had such a camaraderie down there. I'm sorry that you and I didn't get to meet face-to-face. I'm sure we will. But it was really encouraging to me to find out more about Bob Jones University and the seminary, to see all that God is doing there, and to have that kind of kindred spirit, like, okay, we can do well with one another. But we need to impact the world around us, and certainly in our nation today, I don't think we've ever seen a time where a biblical worldview, a robust one that's out in the streets, is more needed. But it's just so thrilling, and I just want to thank you for partnering with me in this, and we're super excited to see what God does.
Well, thank you so much, and we were thrilled to have you again. I'm sorry we didn't connect. I don't remember what was going on, but there are five words we love to hear when people come to the campus, and those are the words, "Wow, I had no idea."
So good.
And that's just a blessing, because it is truly a tremendous place.
And you guys just started, what year is it? Because you're coming up on your 100th anniversary at Bob Jones University, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
But you guys just kicked off the new year.
Yeah, this is year 95 for us.
Golly.
And one of the amazing things that makes Bob Jones unique is when the school was founded in 1927 by Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who at the time was a pretty nationally known figure when it came to the work of evangelism. He was a great evangelist. And he was really concerned in the 1920s, the roaring 20s, about the negative influence of the secular and the liberal education of the 1920s in the United States.
Wow.
So when he started the school, there were three currents that were flowing. One was religious liberalism. The second was atheistic materialism and the teaching of evolution. And the third was the rise of political socialism and Marxism in the United States, because that was right at about the time of the overthrow of Russia and the rise of Marxism. So he saw he saw at that time there were forces that were reshaping the world as we knew it. And so what he did is he started a college. And that's where we've been for the last 95 years.
Yeah, and that was talk about being ahead of the curve and kind of seeing what was coming over the horizon. And that was one of the things that I experienced myself when I was down there is this understanding of what's going on around us. But oftentimes, Steve, and you know this, and Bob Jones University knows this, oftentimes we can kind of look at what's happening in the culture and we kind of go, okay, that place is just going to heck in a handbasket, and why bother? Let's not wade in there yet. The call of the evangelist, like Bob Jones Sr., was no, you wade in there and you try to bring the good news. You also try to be salt and light, but you have to be prepared to do that because you're going to be marinating in the culture. And oftentimes that can turn a well-meaning Christian into somebody that abandons the faith. And it's just amazing that he saw that so many years ago.
Yeah, he had an amazing, he was prophetic in his thinking. He was very principled in his living. He's very powerful in his speaking. His messages were very clear, and he could see issues. He believed that you change culture one person at a time, and that's why he started the school.
Yeah, which is such an important reminder for all of us. We'll spend the majority of the time today on Theology Thursday unpacking some things about that, thinking biblically, and how do you then translate that into making an impact. But oftentimes, I say this a lot, Steve, when I'm talking on the air, when I'm talking with other people, I'm sure I shared it with a bunch of people down there at Bob Jones, that, listen, oftentimes I think we care more about America and not so much about Americans. And we talk about we need to save America. But America's not going to last forever, but American souls are. And so do you care more about saving America or saving Americans saved? And that's where I think, because of the frustration of the culture war, we often lose sight of the gospel.
Absolutely. And you know, I can't agree 100%. And if Jesus is not the center of our conversation in the long run, then we're going down the wrong path.
And I think that's such a powerful reminder. Again, this is something that I've got. Now, you and I don't know each other well yet, but we will.
Right.
And you're going to find out. I would describe myself, Steve, essentially as a recovering culture warrior. So I've been down the road. I've been very politically involved. I've fought all the good fights that we're supposed to fight in terms of the culture. But in the process, the problem with the culture war is it can really make you self-righteous. It breeds self-righteousness. At least it did in my case. And that kind of shuts down sanctification and you kind of let loose of the gospel. But we have to get all of that on the table. We need to be culture warriors, yes, but we need to be warriors for the gospel as well. Steve, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Steve Pettit, the president of Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary. What does it mean to live biblically in this world? We'll go there next. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So excited to have you here with us. So Theology Thursday, back with a big bang, and we're excited to be partnering with our friends at Bob Jones University and the Bob Jones Seminary. And that's why I spent a couple days down there recently to go explore and meet people, and I was just so excited, and there's such a kindred spirit there. How do we train, how do we learn to be good biblical Christians? But then what do you do with that as you go out into the culture? And of course, that's what Bob Jones University is about, as well as the seminary. So you're kind of coming at it from two different perspectives. A lot of the students, nursing, business, whatever, they're down there, a theater even, technical things at the university themselves. Then you go out into the world. And that doesn't mean you're a super Christian if you end up being a pastor, or that you're in a pastorate or a ministry somewhere. No, we need solid, biblically thinking Christians in all the different industries across the culture. We need to kind of invade, and that's the thing that you do. You get trained up. It's kind of like Daniel when you study that. And Daniel and his buddies were trained in the ways of Babylon. You think about that in terms of a business sense, or nursing, or whatever. But then they carried on their faith in God and lived that out in the context of being in Babylon. And so that's obviously at the center of what Bob Jones University does in the seminary. And that's really it, Steve. I think we're talking to Steve Pettit, who's the president of the university as well as the seminary. And that's the thing I've been reminding, like 2 weeks ago, Steve, I started teaching my classes up here in the Raleigh area. I have 7 classes. I have about 115 students. And I started off every one of them letting them know, hey, you guys live in Babylon. George Barna did a study recently. Only 6% of Americans are actually living out of a biblical worldview, which means 94% are not. That sounds a lot like Babylon to me. What does it sound like to you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think of Jeremiah's commandment to the Jewish people when they were sent to Babylon, and what were they to do? He told them exactly what to do. You would think that they were sent there to overthrow the Babylonian government or to maybe isolate themselves away from the government, but Jeremiah's command tells them that they're to serve the welfare of the community. And that word welfare is shalom, which means peace. And peace is wholeness, wellness. It's kind of the whole, it's the whole shindig. It's the whole thing of serving people. And the best way, the greatest way for believers to have impact is to serve. And in that service, they their life is shown. And at the same time, they can share the truth that has changed their life.
And that's the thing, when you have a freshman class coming in and you know, listen, Steve, your generation, my generation, we're very different from the generation of students that are at Bob Jones University or any other university in the country right now. But to get them, the thing I appreciate about the younger generation right now is I think they kind of have this interest in a life that matters. They want to make a difference. They're skeptical about big institutions. I appreciate a lot of that. But how do you instill in them? Because that's the trick. How do you have a biblical worldview, but then not to turn away from the world, but actually to lean into the world and seek the benefit of the city in which you live or the country in this case? How do you do that?
Well, you know, again, first of all, to be frank, it's very challenging, and yet it's very exhilarating to be able to do it. And I would agree with you that the generation is different, and I think what's made the difference is technology.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
Today, if a student needs information, they really don't need to go to college. They need to go to Google and YouTube, and they can get most of what they need. So you have to ask the question, then what do I need? Why do I actually even need to go to college? These kids are intelligent, and these kids have a lot of information, but what they really need is they need wisdom. And wisdom is a whole different ball game than the intelligence, but also they have to be prepared for life. And so at Bob Jones University, we focus on what we call it the BJU premium, and it's what you get when you come. And those things are centered on three things. One is biblical thinking, how to think scripturally. What does that mean, a biblical worldview? Secondly, experiential learning, that is, what is learning all about? What's the end game in learning? And then the necessity of them being coached. So we call it life coaching. They really do need to have people who are invested in their life that can really make a difference in their life.
And let me start on that third one, because that's my father passed away a couple of years. He was 91. But in his 80s, Steve, my dad discovered mentoring. And he was mentoring kids. They were out in the mountains of North Carolina. And he was mentoring kids in middle school. So you have this guy that was 85 who actually was at the tail end of World War II, ended up in Germany during the occupation. And he loved it. But I think we have a huge divide now where the young generation doesn't talk to the older generation. We don't do life together. We kind of separate. But to talk about that, because that's the call really for every Christian to be a disciple. You've got a Paul ahead of you. You got a Timothy behind you.
Absolutely. And you can't say it more clear than what you just said. You know, Jesus Christ had 12 disciples. He invested his lifetime and energy in them. And they lived with him. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They watched him. They slept beside him on the road or wherever they were staying. And they were able, first of all, to see it in his life, and then he was able to invest it back in them. And that investment in them meant teaching. It meant doing things together. It meant correction. The greatest impact on anybody's life is based on the people you meet. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned about the younger generation is it was different than when I was growing up. I thought, man, if I could meet with somebody one time, my whole life would be worth living, you know, somebody well known.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's actually the reverse. I'm the one that actually has to go after them. Mm-hmm. But I often think about Jesus. That's what he did. He called his disciples. He went to them. And so life coaching involves building relationships and forming connections within the community here where we actually as leaders are actually investing in them, meeting with them, being with them, and then helping them through really the wisdom they need for life.
Yeah, and I think that as setting up a pattern of life, which certainly has been around for a couple thousand years, starting with our Savior, on a college campus, because normally you would think, Steve, okay, I see my professor three times a week. I'm in class for an hour and a half or whatever, and that's about the end of it. But that's not the culture at the university or the seminary. They actually spend significant time together and invest in one another. And I think the question for those of us outside of that academic environment is, should I do the same, and how do I do the same?
Well, I think, obviously, I think it needs to be done. I mean, obviously, you start with your own family.
Yeah.
But I think also this is done intentionally. You have to make this a priority. As you mentioned, it was your dad and his investment in young people. At some point, he made a decision, and he focused on a particular group of people.
That's right.
You know, the average person cannot invest their lives hardly more than 5 to 10 people, but choose those 5 or 10 and make the difference.
Yeah, and that's where we're going to have to. And a lot of times, now this is, as you and I get to know each other, you'll figure out that I'm kind of a Brillo pad sometimes. But people go, I don't have time for that. It's funny, Steve, how we have time for exactly what we want to have time for. So I'll have time to watch a movie. I'll have time to binge on Netflix or whatever. You have the time. We just don't choose to take the time.
It's all about priority, and it's all about what it really comes down to. What do you value in life? There are three things that are going to last forever: God, the souls of men, and His Word. And if you're not investing your life in those three things, then your life's going to end up being somewhat shallow. It's going to be shallow.
Yeah, and so, that's the thing, and I think I see that in the younger generation, Steve, that they don't want to be shallow. They want to live a life of significance. They want authenticity. The question is, will we come alongside and give that to them? I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Steve Pettit, the president of Bob Jones University, as well as Bob Jones Seminary. This is Theology Thursday, our first day kicking off with our new friends at BJU. We're so thrilled to have Steve with us. We look forward to what God's going to do in the future. We'll pick it up with Steve Pettit when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary, 1927. And Bob Jones Sr. is like, okay, we have some issues going on here. We have theological liberalism. We have Marxism, socialism, all these things on the rise. The culture's going that direction. The church, part of the church, is following it. And we need to be corrective. We need to be salt and light. So all the way back. Could you imagine that? This is year 95. From us being established in 1927. Amazing. So when I was down there a couple months ago, just thrilled, just exploring, let's go get to know my brothers and sisters at BJU and at the seminary. I'm like, okay, this is a no-brainer after 2 days. I really hope we can do this. And God just moved. And so we have this brand new partnership for the Theology Thursday. So this is every week. And every week we get to dip into the well that's deep and wide down at BJU to bring just some great thinkers, some great theologians, great teachers to help us all grow in our faith. And starting, I don't know, would it make you uncomfortable? I said we're starting at the top. We're with Steve Pettit, the president of the university as well as the seminary. Again, Steve, I just am really thrilled to have this partnership with you guys.
Well, thank you, Steve. Most days I feel at the bottom on occasion, so I can appreciate whatever. You know, hopefully it's a servant's atmosphere.
Amen.
And we serve one another.
Well, the only thing, there was one creepy moment. I don't know if you heard about this. So we have mutual friends. So I'm started on radio on the Truth Radio Network, which is Stu Epperson Jr. Epperson Sr., his father, of course, was the co-founder of Salem Broadcasting. So little Stu Epperson and I have been friends since 2005. As a matter of fact, if it weren't for the Eppersons, I wouldn't be on the radio and you and I probably wouldn't even be talking. But you guys allowed me to stay in one of your apartments there on campus for a couple of days. So I had one apartment number that I was supposed to go to, but the key was a different apartment number. So I get over there and I get to the door, the correct door with the key that I have. It's not the room I think I'm going to. And I look on the door and guess whose name is on the door?
It must be Epperson.
The Epperson. So I took
Epperson room.
Yeah, the Epperson room. So I took a picture and I texted it to little Stu and I said, I'm not quite sure how I feel about this. I'm sleeping in the Epperson room. It was really funny. It was just one of those things. I was a little touch from the Lord. So it was fun and great to be there. And I look forward to coming back down and hopefully you and I will get to sit down and spend some time together. Absolutely. Let's talk about a Christian worldview because I think it's a lot of things. It's something that mature believers, evangelicals, we kind of know about that. Now, in all my classes, Steve, in the last 2 weeks, when I start talking about a biblical worldview, how many, and these are kids that are homeschoolers growing up in church. These are the kind of kids that end up going to BJU, right? But when you ask them, do you know what a biblical worldview is? Most of them actually don't. So I don't want to assume that everybody actually understands this, because this is right at the core of what you were talking about. The BJU premium is a Christian worldview is the foundation of every aspect of life. So let's start with that question. What is a Christian worldview or a biblical worldview?
Well, I think probably the simplest way to put it is like when you put on a pair of glasses, you look through lenses. And a biblical worldview is the lens by which you look at the world. How do I see the world? And a biblical worldview is essentially looking at the world through the lens of Scripture. And when I say the world, I'll put it this way. Bob Jones Sr. said the purpose of Bob Jones is not to teach our students just how to make a living, but we teach them how to live. So a biblical worldview is how it is that the Word of God, the truth of God, is actually projected on all of our life and everything. So that's really a biblical worldview. So whether let me put it this way, it's not natural to think that way, because God said, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." So you have to go through a process of renovation of your thinking. Like you're remodeling an old house.
Right.
You have to remodel the way that you think. So Paul says, don't be pressured by the world's way of thinking. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the way the world thinks. But you need to go through the process of a renovation of your mind, thinking the way God thinks. That's a biblical worldview.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting about that is once you get in and start studying and building a biblical worldview, there's a lot of people, Steve, in the church that will find that they've actually adopted some things that are not the biblical worldview. I had a conversation with Alan Benson about this, and a lot of people just find out. We talked about the Truth Project, which is something that Focus on the Family did years ago. And people that I've taught it 7 or 8 or 9 times and take a bunch of Christians through it. These are mature Christians, Steve. These are people in their 40s and 50s and 60s. And you'll find every once in a while, well, they'll be surprised that they actually adopted the view of the world as opposed to a biblical worldview. But you have to build it. I love that notion of like a renovation.
Yeah, you know, when my kids were growing up, I have 4 children and 2 daughters, 2 sons. And when my kids were little, I was like any other parent. I was concerned about the influence of the world in sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely.
But by the time they turned 16, 17, 18, I realized that wasn't even the issue. The issue was actually in the way that they saw the world. And how do they think? How do they think about marriage? How do they think about life's purpose and the meaning of life? How do we think about these things? And the influence of the world is very powerful. So a biblical worldview is actually, for example, we have BJU Press here, and we have our material that for homeschool and Christian school that goes to 70 countries, well over 1 million students, and we have a couple of key men who basically teach biblical worldview, and they teach it to the people who are in Christian schools. And usually by the time they're done, people are oftentimes are weeping because they just overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. With, first of all, what it means, and that in many ways they've had a secular worldview. And
yeah,
it's just a reshaping of the way you think.
Yeah, and until you get in and start kind of inspecting all these rooms in your mind and the way that you look at things, you're not really sure what's going on there. You can love Jesus. You can be a pretty good theologian. You can know the Bible. You can go to church 2-3 times a week and still have some areas that maybe you weren't aware of that the Holy Spirit and the teaching of Scripture didn't quite permeate everything. That's why you mentioned this, and this is on part of the BJU Premium, is our aim captured by our founder's vision is not simply to teach people how to make a living, but how to live. And I think that's where the challenge is oftentimes I'll tell parents this, Steve. Hey, if your kid comes home one day and says, you know what, I want to grow up and be a 4th grade clarinet teacher. And the first thing I think is that doesn't pay very much. That's not necessarily good use. But you go, okay, Do you think God would want a Christian that loves him and knows his word and is full of the Holy Spirit to venture into the public school system through the means of teaching clarinet in order to be a light for him and maybe to have opportunities to share the gospel? You think God would be on board with that plan? Yes.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I tell parents,
yeah, absolutely.
If you're thinking only about making a living, you may be thwarting what God actually wants to do in your kid's life.
Yeah, it actually comes down to a student, like here at Bob Jones, understanding their identity. Who are they in Christ? What is the calling of God on their life? And then how is it that God has gifted them? And how is it that he is directing them? And they seek the Lord in his wisdom and purpose to fulfill his will in the world. So it's a tremendous opportunity to be able to do more than educate, but actually to see them go through a transformative experience.
Can you do any of, we're talking to Steve Pettit, the president of Bob Jones University, as well as the seminary. Can you do any of that, Steve, without a really robust student approach to the Bible itself?
I don't see how, because you have to be a learner. You have to sit at Jesus' feet, and now learning is obviously, there's multiple different ways to learn. We understand that, but
sure.
But learning God's word must be primary in the first place.
And so that's but the interesting thing, when you look at Bob Jones University, because you guys have a wide range of majors that people can do, wide range of things, all kinds of different career opportunities through that. Yet you are obviously an institution that's completely committed to God's word. How do you kind of do that? Because that's back to that point of making a living versus how you live. But how do you kind of build a robust biblical worldview into a student while they're training to be a nurse, for example?
Yeah, I think first of all, you have to have the right kind of instructors. You have to have the right kind of teachers and professors who have been immersed in and trained in a biblical worldview and how it is that they can bring this out. For example, at Bob Jones, we don't really teach, if I could say it this way, we don't teach creation science. We don't have a class called creation science. We teach science. But what happens is it permeates so much whatever we do. They clearly walk away with belief in creation as opposed to the world evolving. So all of our nursing program is a first class program, but what is the foundation for that? How do you? I walked into a nursing class today with a couple of pastors, and immediately the teacher was telling us what they were working on, and they were dealing with some of the issues of abortion. And they're going to go. They're going to come at it from a completely biblical worldview. And so, constantly, I mean, when we look at our government today, the issues that we're facing in our government, so many of them are actually moral issues.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Those issues are. How do we look at it biblically?
And that is specifically one of our roles in this culture. We're talking to Steve Pettit, the president of Bob Jones University, as well as the seminary. When we come back, we obviously live in a very complex world. America is not in good shape. So what do we do to impact the culture? How do we walk that out? We'll talk to Steve about that on Theology Thursday. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, official once again with our friends at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary. By the way, I put the links up on Facebook Live today, but if you want to jump over there, if you have children or grandchildren, I think it would definitely be worth your time to check out Bob Jones University. That's just bju.edu, as well as the seminary. So to get a seminary education, that's seminary.bju.edu. And we're going to be bringing people on, thought leaders from both. We're going to be dipping into the pool of the university as well as the seminary. So I'm just excited and thrilled to see what God's going to do as we bring that in every Thursday. And you're going to benefit. I'm going to benefit our friends at BJU as we engage the culture around us. I think we're all going to benefit from this, and I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Again, Steve, thanks for being with us today. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, Steve. My privilege.
Okay, so the big question, we've got the last segment of the Theology Thursday today is listen, I know I've never seen America in the condition that it's in right now. I know that we kind of sound like old people when we're like, oh, the country's blah, blah. But I think it's true. We've never been in this position. Like I mentioned, the George Barna research that only 6% of Americans are living a functional biblical worldview. life, which means 94% of them are not. I think the born-again population in America is probably somewhere between 8 and 12%. The vast majority of people don't even know the Lord, although we still, Steve, have about, a recent study showed about 67, 68% of Americans will still self-identify as Christians. But you look around the country and what's going on, whether we talk about Afghanistan, COVID, masking, abortion, sexuality, homosexuality, transgenderism, you name it, socialism. This is a big mess right now. And I think the two questions is, what do we do for our children? Talk about mentoring and reaching and teaching. How do we train up these children of ours to engage this culture in a way that's deeply meaningful and gospel-centered as well? And then what do we do ourselves? Two huge questions.
Well, I think starting with yourself, because I think out of that is going to be the way you raise your children. Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, everybody has to, as we used to say in the world that I lived in, if you pray for revival, as the old preacher said, take a piece of chalk, draw a circle on the wooden floor, and then stand in the middle and say, God, revive everybody in this circle.
Amen.
I really think it starts with personal revival. I think it needs to come back to a full and complete surrender of one's life to the Lord. And I really think it comes down to that, that my life is his life and my life is in his life. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It is a personal walk with God, number one, first and foremost. And then secondly, I think with the combination of a commitment to raising a godly family and being committed to God's plan in the world today, which is the local church, and raising my children to walk with God. I know the church is not perfect. There's lots of failures. I get all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think being committed to educating our children with a commitment to biblical worldview. And that has to be done either in a setting where there's a homeschool or a Christian school or a setting where there can be the teaching and the living out of a biblical worldview. I think that has always been the process throughout history.
Yeah, and I would add to that as a fellow parent with four children, we have a 26, a 23, a 20, and a 16-year-old. And oftentimes we think, Steve, if I do all these right things, all the good Christian things, homeschooling, church, 4 hours a week, yada, 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 all that stuff, that almost like that's a guarantee that our children are going to turn out to be these incredibly godly people. But that doesn't always go that way. But also that's an ongoing story. So I'll remind people, I had a lady on the show years ago that was a great, she had her own prodigal story, wrote an incredible book. And she said something that was very comforting to a lot of people, which was, hey, really good godly parents can do their best and have children that still make bad decisions. And so I would add to that whole list, as we raise them up in the way they should go, they also are individuals who have to walk that out with the Lord. But the role of parents in prayer, my wife has been so faithful to pray for our children, blows me away in that regard. But we have to be patient and we have to pray, lead them, teach them. But then we got to have some faith in what the Lord's going to do, too, and not give up. You're going to have some bumpy years, some kids, not all. But gosh, we need to be people of prayer in that as well.
You hit the net. You got is it, and on top of everything is undergirded by the grace and the mercy of God, and the intervention of God in the lives of our children and what God does in their heart. And as you've already mentioned, you know, we have prayed for and wept over our own children that God would be merciful and work in their hearts.
Yeah, and I think that's something so many parents, Steve, you know this, and several of the folks I met at BJU, I go, hey, we did everything right. Are your kids perfect? No. Are yours? No. But who loves them more than we do? The Lord does, and their story is not over yet. And so we have to be the long game. We have almost no patience anymore in America, but we have to have the long game when it comes to our kids and impacting them. But what about the culture around us? Because right now it looks like the deluge is so big. Like I mentioned, 94% of our neighbors aren't living with a biblical worldview. Almost looks impossible. So how do we kind of approach the United States of America?
Well, wow, what a question. I think if I could say this in an encouraging way, when the enemy comes in as a flood, the scripture says God's going to raise up a standard. Mm. And this is God's work, and God's going to do a work in the world. And I think that's happening right now. I think I look at our student body, and they came back this year. And, you know, our students have lived through COVID for the last 18 months. Our junior class it started with COVID. Our incoming freshmen live with COVID for their junior and senior year of high school. And so this is affecting a different kind of a kid coming in. And they see, I mean, they're smart kids. They can read the news, and they know that there's an issue going on. So I think God is going to raise up a generation of kids who are committed to the authority of Scripture, and they're going to live that out. So we have to have confidence in the sovereignty of God to accomplish His work in the hearts of people.
And you like you mentioned earlier, Steve, and I bring this up often as well, that we kind of do both. There's salt and light. There's bringing truth to bear in whatever industry, whatever situation you're in, to point people to the truth of God's word. But there's the gospel as well, as you started the show saying, we need to remember about individuals. The way you change a nation is to see individuals changed. I was sharing on the break on Facebook Live. And folks, just so you know, future Theology Thursdays, we're going to get it worked out so that we can do video while we do the show, so that during the commercial breaks on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, we'll be able to go even deeper and have some sidebar conversations. But I mentioned that, Steve, before my wife and I were saved, we were married in 92. We were born again literally within weeks of one another in 94. Before we were born again, I was indifferent to the abortion issue. She was pro-choice. But literally within weeks of our salvation, she became adamantly pro-life and made a commitment then that one day I'm gonna get involved with that world and serve. And now she's actually halfway through getting her degree to become a sonographer to do ultrasounds. And I got involved too. But it took a change of heart through the gospel to get us to have a change of mind. And I think we need to remember that.
Yep, you experienced the new life. You went from darkness to light and the power of Satan to the power of God. And that transformation, that new life, is the foundation for transformation. And what a glorious thing. And I was converted my freshman year of college at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina, and I became a different person. And I didn't know if I believed God created the world. And after I became a believer, it was a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
And I'm totally committed to the creationist position because I'm a new creation in Christ. So I thank God for what He's done in your life.
Absolutely. Amen. And right back at you. So as we move forward with Theology Thursday and we get different professors and both from the university and the seminary, what's your hope and your prayer, Steve, in our relationship for Theology Thursdays every week in terms of the impact we can have on the people that listen on the radio, people that watch on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, people that catch the podcast later as it's shared with people in the Bob Jones universe? What are kind of your hopes and dreams for what we're doing here?
You know, I would love to see that through this wonderful partnership that there would become a greater thirst for God's truth. A greater thirst to grow in the knowledge of God, a greater desire for my life to be used in that usefulness is within alignment with God's truth. When I came to Bob Jones Seminary after finishing college, I can't tell you how thrilled I was to come, because I had spent 4 years in a secular school and I wanted so much to be immersed in studying the Word. So just a real thirst for truth. And then to live that truth out, I think, will be a tremendous thing.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting to kind of get to know different professors and thought leaders there as we continue to engage these things. And we're going to talk very specifically in the future, just so everybody understands this. We're going to do a lot of talk in the future of very specific subjects. We're going to visit, like I think coming up, maybe even next week, we're going to be talking about biblical sexuality, which is something that the church doesn't want to deal with because we have a lot of garbage in our own closets in the church with respect to that. So we're going to be going down a bunch of roads together and looking at things specifically and diving into the deep end of the pool theologically, but always with a look outside the window as to how we can encounter the world around us and bring the truth of God's word to bear, as well as the gospel. One last thing, Steve, and then we're done. How can we pray for you and all our friends down there at BJU?
Pray that God will give us strength for the day and wisdom for the hour in making decisions, that we would make decisions that are in alignment with God's purposes.
Yeah. Amen. Great. Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University and the seminary, Bob Jones Seminary. God bless you, brother. I'm super excited about getting our first show in the can, and I look forward to seeing what the Lord does with it in the future.
Thank
Thanks
you,
so much.
Steve, so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk again real soon. So it's just going to get better from there, friends. We're just going to go deeper and wider, and I'm super excited about it. Every week, Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.